from the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean. Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to this remarkable program we call Coast to Coast AM. Later on tonight, Science and Reason with the Skeptic. Dr. Michael Shermer joins us. Here's what's happening. Well, listen to this one. The amount of fish taken from the world's oceans over the last 60 years has been underestimated by more than 50%, according to a new study. Now, researchers say that official estimates are missing crucial data on small-scale fisheries, illegal fishing, and discarded bycatch. The authors argue that the global fishing catches are now declining rapidly because stocks have been exhausted. Other researchers have questioned the reliability of the study, but people are still concerned. Violent crime rose across the United States in the first 6 months of last year compared to the same period the year before, according to preliminary data released by the FBI. The crimes, of course, increases in murder, rape, robbery, aggravated assault. The FBI said violent crime rose most dramatically in cities with populations between 250,000 and a half a million people. President Obama's ongoing push for gun control is backfiring, according to critics who cite that new federal data that shows that Americans are more interested than ever in getting their hands on firearms. A record 23 million background checks were conducted on prospective gun buyers in 2015 alone. Well, for the first time, a propaganda magazine for the Islamic State terror group included an admission that the notorious militant group known as Jihadi John was dead. U.S. officials had previously said an airstrike killed him in Syria in November. The magazine reports that Jihadi John, otherwise known as Mohammed Emwazi, was born in Kuwait and traveled to the United Kingdom when he was young. Now, he had figured prominently in a string of ISIS beheading videos, but analysts said he eventually became an outcast as U.S. and British intelligence teams devoted more time and resources to finding him, which they obviously did. Wall Street ended flat again after a choppy session Tuesday as falling oil prices led to more carnage in energy stocks and an inline economic report showing that there's still slow growth in China. Michael Misshedlock, our registered investment advisor with us. It continues, Michael.
It sure does. The Dow futures are down about 300 points as we're talking here, George. S&P down 31. Jeez. Bernanke was in Davos. It's economic forum, where all these bigwigs go, conference, multi-day conference.
The rich people.
Here's what he said. Listen to this. This report just came out just seconds ago. He said that China was not a problem because it's, quote, $28 trillion pile of debt was an internal problem. Now, China's debt to GDP hit 282% of GDP in mid-2014. Bernanke said, let's not worry about China, $28 trillion.
Well, the stock market's worried about China, aren't they?
Yes, and this is the way these guys think, George. $28 trillion is not a problem, but this is the way these guys think. And think about just servicing the interest rate, the interest on that debt. This is why the global economy is slowing. Rather than take our hits, rather than letting the banks go under, we bailed them out again and again and again. And what happens in the meantime? They build up more debt, George, more debt, more debt. The interest on that debt, consumers can't pay, businesses can't pay, no one can pay. And these guys can't figure out why the global economy is slowing when we can't service interest on the deficit.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting year to watch, Mish, with the presidential election and everything else. This is going to be one of those years.
I think it is, George. I think it's going to be an amazing year. Remember what happened in 8 years ago, the two presidential elections ago. The U.S. economy was heading in a recession. Bush was in control. Obama came in, promised change we could believe in, swept everyone out. We didn't fix any problems in 8 years, did we, George?
Nope, not at all. Mish, thanks. Hey, getting too little sleep during the week can increase some risk factors for diabetes, but sleeping late on weekends might help improve the picture, according to a U.S. study. So just remember that. The National Institutes of Health is spending more than $400,000 sending text messages to Latino men to encourage them to exercise. The University of California in San Diego is conducting the study, which is attempting to employ the low-cost strategy, they say, of using cell phones to reach Mexican Americans. $400,000 to send text messages to Latino men to encourage them to exercise. Gosh, what a waste of money there. Humanity is at risk from a series of dangers of our own making, according to Stephen Hawking, the physicist. Nuclear war, global warming, genetically engineered viruses are among the scenarios he singles out. And he says that further progress in science and technology will create new ways that things can go wrong. I think he's right. Get ready for a spectacular sight in our skies. For the first time since 2005, the planets Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn, all of them, will be visible at the same time. Astronomer Dr. Sky, Stephen Cates with us. This is cool, Stephen.
Oh, George, this is really spectacular. And here's the skinny on what the observers and viewers can see. Right now, if you're looking across the vast audience of coast, if you look into the east, Jupiter is where I'm sitting in Arizona, is higher in the sky in the east. That begins the planetary parade, George. And by the way, Jupiter is going to be exceptionally close this year to the Earth as we move into March of 2016. So that's the start of the planetary lineup. The best way to view this is about an hour and a half before sunrise. Simply look into the southern and southeastern part of the sky. By then, George, the planet Jupiter will be behind you. To the left of that, moving in the direction of south and then southeast, is Mars. It, too, is coming close to the Earth by about maybe 10 miles per second. It'll be spectacular in the month of May. Then continue to look to the southeast. This is the direction where the sun is rising. You'll see the planet Saturn. That also, as we continue to the southeast toward the horizon, brilliant Venus, you can't miss it. And then the hard planet that most people never get to see. It's alleged that Nicholas Copernicus, when he wrote his big book about the sun, of course, being the center of the solar system, it's claimed that he never got to see Mercury in his entire life. Well, we can do it. That'll be the planet, George, that's hugging the horizon. And if you look right now, folks, at the moon, if it's clear, just to the right of it, George, is a star called Aldebaran, 65 light years mm-hmm. away. It's a star, George, that in so many times, this one was just covered up or eclipsed. It's called occulted. So it was just passed now, the eclipse. Well, we'll have 13 more of these, and we'll be talking about that, I'm sure, in future editions here. A great way to start and move through 2016. It's awesome.
It's exciting. Stephen, thanks. Talk to you later. If you get up to our website, coasttocoastam.com, take a look at the highlight reel. An incredible story about the Loch Ness Monster. Apparently, they might have found an underwater hideaway where Nessie hides. Go look at the story. It's there at coasttocoastam.com. Up next, as we talk about just what is happening around this planet economically, how will that affect all of us? Should we go out and buy something or not? Hold on. Greg Hunter's with us from USAWatchdog.com next on Coast to Coast AM. Well, he's back. Greg Hunter, of course, has had years of network experience as an investigative correspondent working for ABC News, Good Morning America. Most recently, Greg worked for CNN, and he is a hard-hitting reporter, heads up USAWatchdog.com. Going to talk about some issues that affect all of us through his perspective. Greg, good to have you back. What a year we are having, huh?
Yes, it is. It's getting off to a pretty horrible start when the stock market's down, what, more than 8%? I mean, Ms. Shedlock was just talking about how the futures are off 300. That means it's going to open up 300 points lower tomorrow morning if it stays the way it is right now. And that is just really a symptom of how nervous the world is about all this debt. He brought up China and the $28 trillion that China has. And it's not just China. The problem, and just in broad terms, you think, okay, so we're having a slowdown. Well, the problem is this slowdown is coming with more debt in the world ever. We grew the debt And when Mitch says we didn't fix anything last time, we didn't write off any debt. Nobody went bankrupt. Incidentally, nobody went to jail either.
That's right.
Which I hope we get to talk about that. It's one of the few things that the Republicans or the Democrats, except for Bernie Sanders, which is the only thing I really think he's right about, is the bankers haven't gone to jail. But we grew the debt $60 trillion, roughly $60 trillion since the 08 crash. The world GDP is $70 trillion. We went into debt. It's like you having already having a debt problem. You're on the verge of filing bankruptcy, and somebody sends you 10 credit cards with $15,000 each on them, and all of a sudden, wow, you're looking pretty good.
You run them back up again.
You run them all up. You got all this new credit, and so it was the third. And just he brought up a story about the the powers that be know this. This is leaking out into the mainstream press. There's a story on just out late yesterday evening. It's from the Telegraph UK. This is like the New York Times of the United Kingdom. And there is the former chief economist for the Bank of International Settlements. And he says that, we have all this debt. The debts have continued to build up over the last 8 years. They have reached such levels at every part of the world that they have become a potent cause for mischief. Well, what he's really saying is that this is never going to get paid off.
No.
This is you already have a declining global economy. You already have more debt than you're ever going to pay off. This includes America, with the $19 trillion that we're never going to pay off. And then they say, our deficit has gone down. If you use, crazy phony accounting, yeah. Really what we've committed to is $5 to $7 trillion every year. It hasn't gone down. But William White, and he is the former chief economist at Bank of International Settlements, and he's talking about, it's obvious that in the next recession, which I think is now, according to John Williams, he's a guest on USA Watchdog tonight, we are already in a recession right now.
He thinks that, right now.
Yes, he thinks we're already in, and he gave metrics as to why industrial production, he gave multiple metrics, why the housing market, just many things. You see only in recessions that the GDP, the Atlanta Fed is going to say that the GDP is 0.6% for the fourth quarter, which when they revise that down, will probably turn negative. Just all the things are lining up, and we already have this over-indebtedness and then a declining income flow, and that can only spell debts, defaults. And defaults and bankruptcies, that's what the banks are worried about, particularly in the oil market. And, it's all great. Oh, wow. The headline page, it's at 65 cents a gallon or something on USA Today on the front page of the paper. How low can it go? Yeah, 47 cents.
Yeah, they had a gas war in Michigan, Greg.
And, that's great. But the bankers have just in the oil sector have loaned out about $1 trillion, which is at least double what the subprime supposedly was. And here we have Goldman Sachs. That's not even done cleaned up yet. Goldman Sachs just paid $5.1 billion to settle, restitution and fines and whatever. $5.1 billion for the subprime mishandling mortgages, fraud. And so this is John Williams says we're already in a recession, and it's all the telltale signs. Housing starts are down quarter over quarter. Manufacturing, industrial production is down, for year over year. That's the kind of stuff. It's down 3 out of 4 quarters. It's the kind of stuff that you see only in a recession. Now, it'll take a while for them to officially call it a recession, but long before that, you're going to start seeing bankruptcies. You're going to start seeing companies drop mm-hmm. off. I had Nomi Prinz on, who was the former Goldman Sachs banker, wrote to Takes a Pillage, best-selling author, All the President's Bankers. She says she's worried about the banks that are at risk. Again, they're still at risk. You would think, wow, the banks got all this money and they bought all these bonds and everything's good. And she says it's worse this time because it's global. Before it was subprime and they sold all these loans.
How did it get so bad, Greg?
But now the whole debt thing is over indebted global and secondary markets are not going to help us this time. They're not. There's nowhere to run this time. That's the other thing. You know, the emerging markets were the key, you know, where they flooded all this money and they wrapped up all this production and oil was $100 a barrel and banks were loaning out some money, at least in this area. And we just don't have anywhere to go in terms of policy. They can't really raise lower rates to negative. I don't think that'll work well. They may do that. They just raised it 0.25 point to protect the dollar. That's what they really did. They were protecting the dollar. Because the world is selling the dollar. Either they're selling it because they don't like it, or they're selling it because they need the cash. I had Rob Kirby on, who is an expert in derivatives. And the other thing is that we have all these derivatives. We have a couple $100 trillion in derivatives with the five biggest banks.
Well, they're back up to where they were, aren't they? Maybe higher.
It's actually the problem is worse because the debt is greater. The debt on a macro scale, it's global. Then that's the big picture, the big headline. I'd love to know what's going on behind the scenes at Davos, because they know what's going on. I mean, the Rockefellers, reportedly sold their oil stocks a year ago. So they know this is going on. Then Iran is coming on with all this oil. You think, oh, that's a great idea. Oh, gas, 47 cents a gallon or whatever. And Iran is coming on with all this oil, and it's just going to cause one implosion after another, I think. Not just in the oil sectors. There's a rippling effect.
Well, let me ask you this, at least for the person at the pump. Is this oil drop good for us or not?
Yes, it's good. For now, but it's bad because it's going to cause, multiple Lehman Brothers. It might cause multiple bankruptcies. It might cause a banking crisis. It might cause the dollar to collapse. There's all kinds of other things which if the dollar takes a big hit, you know, or those oil prices will ricochet right back up. And the real problem in the world is it's sloshing around with cheap dollars, and they're trying to get rid of these dollars, and somebody's buying these dollars, and you know that's the hallmark of when you're the buyer, when your central bank is the buyer of the last resort of your securities, and printing dollars to buy your securities, and that's usually a bad situation. And this inspector general at who was a former, World Bank chief economist, is saying, he's talking about, I hope that everything can be managed correctly, that the next task awaiting global authorities is how to manage debt and write-offs and therefore massive reordering of winners and losers without setting off, a political storm. I mean, when your ATM cards don't work anymore and everything runs on credit, this is why this is so dangerous. I mean, there is no back anywhere. There's no, let me go back in the back and get you some shoes or some bananas or whatever. No, everything's in front. It's just in time supply management. You know, barcode, boop, you buy something and the computer, we need to reorder that. Well, that all runs on credit. And when the credit crisis, like it seized up before, when the credit crisis happens.
And it hits the automobile industry, everything.
It hits
it's a domino.
Grocery stores, the automobile industry, it hits everything. And then the automobile industry, you think, oh, that's really a bright spot. Well, if you think buying cars with no money down on subprime notes is a great deal.
Are they
housing?
Can they prop it up like they did in 2007 and 2008? I don't think they can anymore.
According to the authorities, the Fed and the IMF, middle of last year, I think I had Bill Holter on. He was talking about, a piece that he wrote called You've Been Warned. And they basically warned that, hey, listen, next time we're not going to be able to do much. The Fed has in effect said that they can't do much. I mean, think about it. You know, back in the last crisis, what were interest rates? 4 or 5%. They could lower them. They kept lowering them. Mm-hmm. In the last crisis, they're going to go to Congress and get $700 billion. In the last crisis, they could, the Fed was buying these bonds off the books of banks, and they blew their balance sheet. Their balance sheet was $800 billion. And now it's $4.5 trillion. That's what they admit to. And how far can they go? How much more can they do? What are they? And therein lies the problem. So when you ask the question, is it good to have cheap gas prices? Yes, but you're going to pay dearly for those cheap gas prices with an economic calamity. It's not stable. It's unstable.
Greg, hold on. We're going to come back in a minute. I've got to get your take on the presidential campaign. Got to talk with you about that, too. We'll be back. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Greg Hunter with us. Next hour, we'll open up the phone lines. I know a lot of you are calling now. Hold on for a little bit. We'll get to your calls next hour with Greg Hunter. Okay, welcome back to Coast, Greg Hunter with us from USAWatchdog.com. We're going to get more into what we're talking about with the economy and how it affects you. But, Greg, I've got to pick your brain on what's going on the presidential elections. Let's start with the Democrats, Hillary and Bernie Sanders. They're talking now that Bernie's starting to get some momentum, yet he wants to increase his taxes by trillions of dollars. Where do you see the Democratic in right now?
Well, here's my take on Bernie Sanders. And, you know, Hillary would love to slough him off.
You can't do that yet.
And you can't. And the Republicans would love to slough him off, and you can't. And here's where he's making hay, and he's making hay with young people. You can't tell young people, hey, you don't get nothing. You can stay in your parents' basement until you're 50. You don't get Social Security. And, oh, by the way, you need to work to pay for all this other stuff if and when you can get a job.
And pay us back for your student loans.
Exactly. And then we have the bankers, which I just told you about, Goldman Sachs, which is cleaning up this fraud. They call it mishandling mortgages. I call it fraud. So does Bernie Sanders. And Bernie Sanders, a piece in USA Today, which is kind of shameful in a way because USA Today is covering, you know, what Bernie Sanders is doing with $204 billion in fines and restitutions. You know, he's just doing fines. Fines, $200 billion, $204 billion, now $209 billion with the $5 billion that the fines and restitution that Goldman Sachs just agreed to pay for. But, you know, $209 billion, not a single banker. This is shameful. The FBI doesn't know how to make a case on rampant fraud. They have sued and they have prosecuted the banks for the LIBOR rate rigging scam for trillions of dollars of rates being set around the planet. They've convicted the banks, not the bankers, the shareholders, basically. They've convicted the banks on Forex fraud. Not a single banker has gone to jail. This is a $5.3 trillion a day market. You know, they have rigged the gold market, the silver market, the futures market. This is rampant fraud. Jamie Dimon, I don't know how he has a job. Nobody on Financial Press TV will mention anything. They've had almost, I don't know, more than $30 billion in fines, losses and restitution. J.P. Morgan helped. They admitted to helping Bernie Madoff and paid a $2.5 billion fine. Not a single banker has gone to jail. Why am I telling you all this? Because the only person talking about it is Bernie Sanders. And that is, and the Republicans ought to be bringing this up. You cannot fix an economy with a backdrop of fraud. And Bernie Sanders, I don't believe in any of the other things he says. And, you know, I was listening to Bill O'Reilly last night. Oh, Bernie Sanders wants to blow up the banking system. What? Excuse me? So you think you're letting bankers run unbridled and commit all the fraud they want, and when they do get fined, the shareholders pay for it? You think that's capitalism? Let me tell you, if you're a capitalist, you believe in bankruptcy. You have to. It's part of capitalism. And this is where Bernie Sanders is creaming Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton has all kinds of other problems, but she's taking money from Wall Street banks. Bernie Sanders blurts out, "You got a $600,000,
from Goldman Sachs, right?
Goldman Sachs."
But if he takes New Hampshire, if he takes Iowa caucuses, the guy's got some momentum there. Now they have said that Hillary has a better chance of beating Trump, assuming Trump gets it. We'll talk about that in a second, than Bernie Sanders.
Forget it. She's done. Stick a fork in Hillary. She's finished.
You really think so?
For months, she's going to get charged. And the latest story out, the inspector general is now out saying her personal server. I mean, George, General Petraeus had a stack of documents and some top secret stuff in paper form that he was sharing with his biographer and mistress, okay?
Yes.
That's it.
And they nailed him.
Yes. They charged him originally with a felony. He put it down to a misdemeanor, but he paid a $100,000 fine. And now they're talking about demoting him from a four-star general, I don't know, to a one-star, two-star.
Right, exactly.
Demoting him.
That came out today. You're good.
So Hillary Clinton, we really got to get into this, because under the Espionage Act, under the forget about obstruction.
Yeah, but if they're not nailing the bankers for obvious fraud, you really think they're going to go after her too?
Well, yes, and I'll tell you why. Well documented in the book Blood Feud, I think his name is Klein. Documented. They hate each other. The Obamas hate each other. She went over to the White House, and this is one of his stories that he told. That she went over to the White House, was talking to him about. He was acting like, oh, what? What do you mean? What do you mean? This your server, your Clinton Foundation? She went over there, and basically, the whole conversation ended, according to Klein, the guy that wrote the Blood Feud book, saying that you know, listen, Barack, call off your dogs. Well, you gotta remember, where did the server revolution? That she had a private server come from? Valerie Jarrett. Do you think Valerie Jarrett dropped this bomb and then walked into Barack Obama's office? Oh, by the way, the presumptive nominee for the Democratic Party, I just hammered her. And then the other big bomb, the Clinton Foundation and the Play to Pay and all the other stuff that they have expanded the FBI probe on. Now it breaks that not only did she have classified, and she said she didn't send or receive at the time classified or top secret information, that 1,300 emails later, come on, stop. That's not true. Now the Inspector General comes out and says she had stuff on her private server beyond classified and top secret. She has stuff that was on there that the Inspector General's office had to get special permission. It was so top secret to look at it.
Well, if
so
they're going to nail her, they better do it fast.
Well, yes, and here's the thing. Here she just said in the debate that no banker is too big to fail, and no person is too big to jail. She may regret saying that. But there is no way. Now think about this, George. So all the bombs got dropped. They didn't. Trinkati at the Benghazi committee didn't drop that bomb. Nobody else dropped that bomb about her private server. Nobody else dropped the bombs about her Clinton Foundation, which they are looking into for looks like influence peddling and bribery and whatever. That's what they're looking into. The Obama White House did that. Do you think that he's going to turn over the IRS and the Justice Department and the White House to Hillary Clinton after that? Do you really think he's going to do that?
No.
Now, you think about that. The bombs came from him. Well, he's going to stand up on the stage and say, hey, vote for her? No, that ain't going to happen. And the other thing is that Comey is very independent. He's the FBI director. He's got 150 agents working on this. He's going to, at the end of all this, go, oh, we're just kidding. We got terrorism in all 50 states, but we spent 150 agents looking into Hillary Clinton, and there's nothing there. There's no there. Come on.
All right.
The Inspector General just dropped the bomb that she had on her private server. Now, let's just look at the Espionage Act. Forget about mishandling documents, forget about obstruction of justice, forget about perjury, forget about wiping the server clean, with a cloth, forget about any of that.
And I guess stupidity is not a defense, right?
That's what we're getting to. Under the gross negligence clause of the Espionage Act, she had a private server. Nobody had the security clearance. And incidentally, the stuff she had on it, less than a dozen people have the security clearance to look at that. This is according to the Inspector General. Less than two dozen people had the security clearance to look at any of the other stuff that she had. And so she has this private server. Nobody handling this physical server has a security clearance. Then these people, I guess unbeknownst to Hillary Clinton, backed this up on a cloud across the country into Connecticut. And guess what? None of those people had any security clearance. If that isn't the standard for gross negligence under the Espionage Act, I don't know what is.
So you're saying
he is incompetent, if nothing else.
I want to hold you down to this. You're saying right now Bernie Sanders is going to get that Democratic nomination.
No, I don't think he's going to get it. I think they're going to end up having Biden come in.
Whoa.
They're going to change the rules to have Biden come in.
All right.
He is a fiercely loyal friend of Barack Obama. Have you heard him? I mean, he's made some gaffes and whatever, but have you heard him say anything nasty
about
him?
No, of course not. Of course not. All right, let's move over to the Republicans for a second.
Okay.
I think Jeb Bush is toast. It's not going to happen. But I do think
he really
there could
be. Considering how much money he had.
Oh, it's crazy. But I do think it could be a brokered.
As poorly as he's done, he really came in last. I mean, Ben Carson beating an upstart with no money and no name, a smart guy, Ben Carson. He's probably the smartest guy.
Delayed his campaign, put his campaign on hold today because of a car accident involving some of his campaign people. But let's look at this for a second. But what about a brokered convention that they just can't get Trump nominated, and so they've got to go in there and broker it? Who wins then?
It depends. I mean, if Trump pulls it out in Iowa, and if he pulls out the you know, New Hampshire and South Carolina,
then he's got some momentum.
There's no broker, nothing. He wins. He wins, and he goes into Super Tuesday with three states under his belt, and at that point, the candidates are going to be boom, boom, boom. They're going to be dropping. There's going to be less people.
So Trump against Biden or Sanders. Trump wins.
I think it'll be Biden, and this is what I think. I mean, I don't know. Because Biden, when he gave his departure speech, it was the most bizarre thing I ever heard. He laid out his platform and then said, "Oh, well, I'm leaving." And then he's saying
he regrets it, that he did.
I regret not running for president every day. Listen, if you think that Hillary Clinton should be, we should ignore the stuff. This is no small thing. People could die over what she did with this latest thing. This is no small thing. This is a big deal. And not only is it a big deal, I mean, she had other help. So we're talking about RICO, racketeering, people conspiring to commit crimes. This is big.
All right,
and it's getting bigger.
But you've already said she's out.
I think she's out. I think that they're going to run Biden.
Against Trump.
That's what if he makes it. It might be.
Who's going to beat him?
I don't think the establishment likes. I think they like Cruz less than Trump. Trump can make a deal. Trump can play nice. They've kind of backed off. And really, if you look at it from the Republican standpoint, they got to be careful because this is why Obama made this speech. Let's go back to his State of the Union. And I did a thing on about his quote, anyone claiming that America's economy is in decline is peddling fiction. George, there are so many metrics you can use where the global economy along with the American economy, the labor participation rate, 94 million people, record numbers of people on food stamps, bad factory numbers, bad real estate numbers. The Baltic Dry Index is 22% below its all-time lows. Rail is down. It's cuckoo. It's embarrassing. But you know who he made that speech for? He didn't make it for the Republicans. He didn't even make it for the independents. He made it for the Democrats. Why? Because a poll came out just before the State of the Union that said, hey, 20% of Democrats would vote for Trump. Luke, that puts New York in play.
That scared the heck out of them.
That puts Pennsylvania in play. That puts all kinds of places in play, maybe even California.
Maybe California.
California would be in play. New Jersey would be in play.
What about Illinois?
Maybe. I mean, listen, President Obama, listen, if you're an African-American in this country, you have to be looking at, wow, we're not doing good. African-Americans are doing – I mean, Tavis Smiley
Greg, I've got to tell you, I know a lot of politicos who are African-American in Missouri, and they are not happy. President Barack Obama.
They've been screwed. It's like who's that sportscaster? What's his name? It says we're going to be voting for a Republican. Really? I mean, listen, look at what's been happening to them. They've got 25 to 30% unemployment rates for teens. The second biggest problem with mortality rates for young black males, I believe, is gunshot wound.
You may be right.
I think it's horrible. I mean, they've got no, and then they're bringing in all these illegals, whether legals or 100,000 Syrian refugees, whatever. These are all people that are going to be competing for jobs in the lower echelon, where African Americans are hammered there
in a workforce.
Unbelievable. They're at least double the fictional rate, and the real rate is about 23%.
And wait till the robots take over. And when the robots take over, then you lose more jobs.
They're talking about 5 million jobs vanishing by, 2025?
Yeah.
Something like that, because they're going to be robotics. That's how all the jobs are coming back from China, incidentally. It's robotics. A lot of stuff's going to be, there could be like one guy and be like doing 10 different things with robots.
So I'm going to predict, you and I are going to go to dinner one day. Let's make a bet.
Okay.
I'm going to predict a brokered convention for the Republicans.
It depends if Trump could win it outright.
Well, I agree. I'm just betting you.
And they may want him to. I mean, they're going to be looking at, okay, we'll put Rubio with Trump. Okay, we're going to get our guy. I mean, when George Bush was not Ronald Reagan's choice for vice president, right? I mean, George Bush was arguably, George Bush once, senior, 41. He was arguably the most powerful vice president in history, and unlike Dick Cheney, he was stealth.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm not saying that's a bad thing or a good thing. I mean, George Bush was very smart, very good vice president, but that wasn't Ronald Reagan's choice for VP. They said, you made it, you got in, you're an actor, whatever, you talk, you speak well, people like you, you got good jokes, you know, there you go again, Jimmy Carter. And so, but they may do the same thing with Trump.
They've already told Trump who it should be.
Maybe. If he wins, I mean, he's got to get past Iowa. I mean, Cruz is a very formidable guy.
Yeah,
if I was Trump, I'd run Cruz as Secretary of State, and if I didn't get Rubio, I'd run Cruz as Attorney General. It'd be a very powerful position.
What's this controversy now about Cruz and his birth?
It says you're supposed to be a natural born inside America, but his mother was.
He was an American.
His father was Hispanic. He was born in Canada, but he still, if it goes to the Supreme Court, I think they would say, yes, you know, you are a natural a citizen, but they're supposed to be born inside the country, supposedly. And like Obama was supposedly born in Hawaii, but, you know, my big question with Obama isn't his birth certificate. I want to know why his college transcripts are sealed. I mean, really, if I went to Harvard, you could say anything you want. I'm proud of that.
8 years, nobody wanted to investigate it.
This is the outrageous bias in the media. This is the media is so biased that they will crush their own business model to make sure that their side, which is decidedly Democrat, they won't report on Planned Parenthood. They won't report on, incidentally, Planned Parenthood, that little deal there. Let me tell you something about Planned Parenthood. They did not sue for libel or slander. And all the stories I read, they did not sue. Let's think again.
They could have.
No, they couldn't have.
Why not?
I think it was true. I think your preeminent defense for libel and slander is the truth. They sued for what? RICO? They sued for trespassing, privacy? Why did they sue for libel? After all, the director, Richardson, came out and said, they were heavily edited, which intimates, you know, that you changed the editing so much that you slandered. You had the doctor saying something that wasn't true. Which is total.
Man, are you going to have a lot of material this year, huh?
Oh my gosh. Yes. But the economy is going to be the big story.
Of course.
The economy is going to be mixed in.
Whoever gets elected, it's not going to be easy.
Oh my gosh. They're going to have to. The problem with whoever gets elected, they're going to have to be big. Big people. The banks should have been taken to receivership. There was all kinds of medium-sized banks that didn't do this crazy stuff that the Big Six did, and they would have taken the receivership. They would have lost some of their assets or all their assets. We should have taken care of this then with all the money printing ability of the Fed. Well, now the Fed is out of shells. Now the Fed's balance sheet has blown sky high. Now instead of them saying, hey, you made a mistake, your assets go to somebody else. This is what capitalism is. According to capitalism is what we got. You know, this too big to fail craziness.
We're going to come back, Craig, and take phone calls with you. The final hour, here we go.